views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hey, welcome everybody. I am going to share an experience that probably everyone with kids has. Have you ever had your kid yelling, screaming in a tantrum kind of way, and you thought, gosh, if I could just medicate them, maybe things will be different? Well, today our guest, Marilyn Wedge, is the author of Pills Are Not for Preschoolers, A Drug-Free Approach for Troubled Teens, and she is going to help us today on learning how to have a drug-free approach. And so when your kids are kind of just, I think sometimes just being kids, we should perhaps resist the urge to just medicate them. So welcome, Dr. Wedge.
Thank you, CJ. My pleasure.
So, you know, let's talk about ADHD and the like. And when people, it seems like everyone has ADHD. I, after reading about ADHD, I just wondered myself if, in fact, I have ADHD. How often do you think kids are correctly and incorrectly diagnosed with some of these things like ADHD and all these other things floating around that we didn't even know existed years ago?
Like bipolar disorder, for example.
Yeah.
Well, I think, CJ, children are very often misdiagnosed with ADHD because it's become a kind of catch-all diagnosis for any kind of problem a child may be having at school. And 9% of American school-age children are now diagnosed with ADHD, and a large percentage of them are taking medications. So I think that it's mostly misdiagnosed. It's kind of a mindset in our society that any kind of a childhood problem is ADHD. In fact, childhood itself has become a kind of diagnosis.
Okay. So the mindset... Okay, I'm sorry. That's just too funny.
All right, well, so, it's true. I mean, children are expected to behave like miniature adults, to sit in classrooms for 8 hours and do what they're told, and recess time is being cut back so they don't have an outlet for their physical energy. They are expected to have the same attention span as adults, and if they don't, then they're diagnosable.
So are those the kind of problems that you think are just like regular childhood, like children being children, you know, sitting still, attention span? What are other kind of childhood, just like regular childhood problems that we kind of instantly go, oh, must have ADHD? I mean, are those the two biggies or are there others?
Well, there's misbehavior when children get belligerent with other kids, when they get hostile. People also think that that might be ADHD, although sometimes it's diagnosed as ODD, oppositional defiant disorder. And what we're not looking at, CJ, is what the environmental conditions might be that produce these behaviors in children. So what our mindset is, oh, it must be an illness and there must be a medication for it, rather than asking ourselves, does my child have the right teacher? Is the classroom so crowded that my child cannot get the attention he needs because, you know, maybe he's more artistic and creative rather than logical? And there's all kinds of environmental factors that can stress children, and children respond to these environmental factors. And it doesn't mean they necessarily have an illness or a disease called ADHD.
Hmm. Well, when is there a legitimate case where you're like, okay, now this kid really does have something where the use of medications would be helpful?
Well, honestly, to tell you the truth, CJ, I have never seen a child that needs to be medicated with psychiatric medication, except, of course, for things that are clearly biological illnesses. For example, cerebral palsy. That's a severe illness that a child has, and there are drugs that can help the child's symptoms. But I think that today, drugs like stimulants for ADHD are used mainly as performance enhancers. I don't know any other child that needs to take medication, because there are so many other things that parents can do before they even think about medication. Would you like me to name a few of those things?
Well, yeah, let's actually. Would love to actually talk about that in the second segment. But I wanted to talk to you. I want to go back to the idea of performance enhancers. What's a performance? Right. What are they stimulating, and what is the performance that they're enhancing? These drugs that people take nowadays.
Okay. Well, the ADHD drugs like Ritalin, Adderall, Concerta. They are what used to be called on college campuses, or which are often called on the streets today, speed drugs. They're amphetamines.
Oh, wow.
And amphetamines are used, they've been used in colleges for decades, to enhance focus and concentration. So kids in college, around the time of final exams, they pass around amphetamines like M&Ms to enhance their performance on the drugs. But, you know, today there's been a lot of, there's been a few articles in the New York Times talking about how now young people in high schools are using amphetamines like Ritalin and Adderall to do better on their SAT, their college entrance tests, to get better grades so that they could be accepted by more elite colleges. And I think the number was 50% of high schoolers at some of these elite schools were using amphetamine drugs like Ritalin to get better grades.
Oh my gosh, that's pathetic. That's very sad. I'm sorry, that's just so sad that we've resorted to this kind of thing just to get a higher grade in the SAT. What has happened to our society? Okay, so I thought that some of these things calm children down. So, I mean, I thought that it was about, so is it because that it helps you focus that you can sit still and you have a better attention span? Because I thought it, like some of the stuff feels like hyperactivity. So it seems like an amphetamine would speed you up.
No, speed actually does the opposite. It calms you down. Speed calms you down and allows you to focus, to stay up all night and study. It really calms you down and focuses your attention. It's kind of a paradoxical effect. Mm. Though the drug is called speed, what it actually does is produce the opposite effect, and that is calming down. Now, of course, some people react in a negative way to speed drugs, and it does make them more anxious and more jumpy. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, anybody can help be helped in their concentration with speed.
Okay, so let's say that what you're saying is that we're over medicating our children. What is if for medications that they may not even need? It's really about changing their environment. But what's the risk now? I mean, that these high school kids, 50% of high school kids, are taking these drugs to perform better on their SATs. We're giving our children these meds so that they'll be better behaved in schools. What's the actual risk to the kid?
Well, the risk for these young people is addiction. The rate of addiction for many years, CJ, the drug companies have hidden research that shows that ADHD drugs are correlated with a high rate of addiction to stronger drugs in late adolescence and early adulthood. So a kid who takes ADHD drugs for many years, like Ritalin or Adderall, they have a higher risk of becoming addicted to cocaine. Cocaine is in the same class of drugs as Ritalin and Adderall. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, they get used to the dependency, they get used to using the drugs as a way to meet life's problems, mm-hmm. and they turn to drugs later on in their life, more illegal drugs.
Now, is there data that says that, or is this just a hypothesis? Wow.
No, there's research data. There was research by a professor of education at the University of California at Berkeley. Her name was Janine Lambert. And she published this data, two decades ago. But then she was blackballed from the medical journals and blackballed from conferences because people really didn't want this getting around. But now, nowadays, more research is coming out showing the risk of addiction later on.
Okay, so in the next segment, I'd love to continue the conversation about the environmental conditions and what are the other environmental conditions and what are some non-drug-oriented approaches that we can take to help out our kids. Next up, we are going to continue our conversation with Dr. Marilyn Wedge, who has written the book, Pills Are Not for Preschoolers, and make sure to... and thank you, Marilyn, and we'll talk about that in the next segment. And guys, this is our second to last show, so on October 25th, it will be our last live show on Transformation Talk Radio Network as we transition to a Seattle-based radio station. So make sure to stay connected and listen to upcoming shows that we'll have on the internet by going to www.firedupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.
Ready for a new and brighter future with The Joseph Gabby Show. Consciously living your destiny. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to break through stagnation and procrastination and fulfill your life's destiny. This hit show will clear mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual stuckness using numerology and an endless list of life-energizing tools live on air. To find out more about Joseph and how to discover the power of blueprint numerology and spiritual healing, visit www.consciouslylivingyourdestiny.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Stiek Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit us at drdarvish.com. That's drdarvish.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters. Be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire.
For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Welcome back and welcome to the Fired Up with CJ show. Today we are interviewing Dr. Marilyn Wedge, who's a family therapist who's written the book Pills Are Not for Preschoolers. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about seven natural ways to address some of the problems that your kids may be facing at school or at home. So welcome back, Dr. Wedge.
Thank you, CJ.
So can you share with us what are some things, you know, you in the first segment you were saying a lot of times, problems that kids are experiencing at home or school are really about environmental conditions, and that oftentimes, I mean, there are very few things that children really even need medicines for. So what are some some natural ways to address some of the issues kids are having?
Well, I think one of the most important is to make sure that discipline for the child is consistent and that both parents are on the same page about discipline. You know, most couples, when they get married, don't discuss their views on disciplining a child, so they're certainly not worthy of blame when they find that one of them is stricter and the other one is more soft-hearted. Mm-hmm. So whatever it takes, and sometimes it takes a session or two of counseling, parents should come to agreement about discipline and about all matters concerning their child, and back each other up. Mm-hmm. And secondly, discipline should be in a calm manner and not with parents yelling. So they need to sit down and discuss the rules and consequences and then state them calmly to a child. Mm-hmm. Another big one is to limit television and video game exposure. A research study in Pediatrics, the main medical journal for pediatricians, has shown that some television shows can adversely impact a child's executive functions, like attentiveness and memory. Yeah, it was in Pediatrics.
Well, what would the show, can you just give me an example of the kind of TV show that would be impacted?
Well, sure, I could tell you the study briefly.
Okay,
This was done with young children aged around five, and there were three groups. One group was allowed to watch SpongeBob SquarePants. Mm-hmm. The other, second group was allowed to watch a PBS show like Sesame Street, and mm-hmm. the third group was able to draw with crayons. Mm-hmm. At the end of 20 minutes, these three groups were tested for executive functions, and the group that watched SpongeBob did significantly worse than the two other groups. The groups that watched Sesame Street and the groups that drew with crayons did about the same. Mm. But it was found, and what the researchers, what the doctors concluded was it was the pace of the SpongeBob, that some shows are so quickly paced that it really fries the child's brain, almost literally. Mm.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, wow, fascinating. So, I'm sorry, so what are some of the, I know you had four other ones.
So another thing is to get a child who is extra energy should get involved in a physical exercise, like swimming, soccer, tennis. You know, you and I talked about the story of Michael Phelps, who was diagnosed at age 9 with ADHD and was given Ritalin. He took Ritalin for 3 years. And then he decided that he really didn't want to take medication, and he discovered swimming, that was an outlet for his extra energy. And he stopped the medication. He talked to his doctor agreed. And by swimming and by using his mind to control his behavior in the classroom, he was able to wean himself off the Ritalin. Now, CJ, if Michael Phelps had really had a biological disease, that wouldn't have helped. So that was a way of changing.
Right, because you mean if his biology were problematic, then he shouldn't have been able to just scale off the meds and be perfectly fine.
Exactly. And not just perfectly fine, but the greatest Olympian champion in all history. And, you know, this is after his teacher, when he took himself off the drugs, his teacher told Michael Phelps' mother that her son would never succeed in anything because he couldn't focus.
I love that.
So physical exercise is a big one. Also, many parents find that there's child school, you know, the teacher might not be the best match, and there may be some problems that their child might do better in another classroom with a different teacher. I know some parents who have actually gone to the extent of homeschooling their child, and so their son, this parent's son who seemed ADHD in the classroom, when she took him out of school and homeschooled him, he was no longer ADHD.
Wow.
So not that all parents can do that, but
what's the mismatch that you typically see? Like someone who is more creative and the teacher is too structured? Like what are usually the mismatches between a child and the teacher and the way they're teaching?
Well, sometimes if a teacher does not have clear, explicit rules for the classroom, I'm talking about maybe kindergarten, first grade.
Yep.
You know, sometimes boys need more clear and explicit limits than girls, because boys just naturally have a lot of extra energy. And so they need clear limits. And then sometimes, you know, a teacher is more likes kids who are more people pleasers and performance oriented rather than a kid who questions or who's more artistically creative. So, you know, I think a parent should look very carefully. There was an article in the New York Times recently, an op-ed by an author, Bronwyn Huska, and she gave her son Ritalin for a year in fourth grade, but then it stopped working in fifth grade. And she talked to the other parents and looked into the school situation, and her thoughts were that this teacher didn't know how to deal with boys. He was a great teacher for girls, but he didn't know how to deal with boys. So when she moved her child's classroom, the, quote, ADHD cleared up.
That is awful.
You know? Also, awful. I think it's important to rule out food allergies or food sensitivities. I haven't seen research on this, but many parents have told me that when they take away food dyes or sugar from their child's diet, they calm down and their behavior becomes more normal. Also, I think to look at the home environment. Does the child overhear the parents arguing? These days, a lot of families are stressed out about finances and possibly job loss. And you'd be surprised that when children hear parents talking about these problems in raised voices, that they start worrying. And they can even start acting like they have ADHD.
Right, so, because they're disturbed by the information. They don't know what to do with it, so they have this kind of unconscious stuff that they're processing that they process out in school. I think that's what you is that right?
Exactly. No, you hit the nail on the head there. Exactly. And, and we're going to talk about some of the stories like that. That kids, when they're worried about their parents, they can't always express it. What they do is act it out, and the effect looks very different from the cause. So keeping your arguments and your disagreements away from the children is a really good strategy.
We have to go on break, so let's actually, when we come back, let's talk about some stories about how actually you would work with a family. And I also wanted to touch upon in the next segment some of the ideas that you had actually talked about in the first segment, that drug companies may be, you know, they're incented to have us take these drugs and what their incentives are, and kind of a look into that whole world. So we have Dr. Marilyn Wedge, who also writes for the Huffington Post and Psychology Today. And this article on 7 ways to address your kids, is it in the Huffington Post or Psychology
Huffington
Today?
Huffington Post.
You can find more about that article in Huffington Post. So next we're going to be talking about doctors overprescribing medications and some stories and what you can do in your family environment. And make sure to go over to stay connected with us as we switch over to a different local radio station by typing in Fire It Up with CJ on iTunes and clicking subscribe. We'll be right back.
family is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern for Blue Heron Wisdom Radio with Laura Longley, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show. Check out Blue Heron Wisdom Radio with Laura Longley on TTRNetwork.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart. There are just certain heart-to-heart conversations you can only have with your sisters. The conversations you crave when you need to reconnect. Mona and Savitri explore our feminine power as they look at headline topics and what women are talking about. Join us on Sisters Talk Radio, Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We are here on Fired Up with CJ with Dr. Marilyn Wedge, author of Pills Are Not for Preschoolers, a drug-free approach for troubled kids. And in the previous segment, we were talking about how families, sometimes children are responding to things in their family situation and some things that families can do to respond. So welcome back, Dr. Wedge.
Thank you, CJ.
So can you share with us some stories about to kind of help illustrate what you mean?
Sure. Let me start with the story of Alex, because it was really dramatic. Alex was a five-year-old boy, and he was always quite good in kindergarten, followed his teacher's directions. And seemingly overnight, Alex seemed to have a personality change. He wouldn't mind his teacher. He started hitting other kids. He wouldn't do his work. He wouldn't sit still in the classroom, started to wander around. And Alex's teacher was very worried and called the parents and said she thought he should be evaluated for ADHD, or oppositional defiant disorder, which is ODD. So the parents took Alex to their pediatrician, and the pediatrician talked with them and talked with Alex, and he said, you know, I think you should probably go to a talk therapist and deal with whatever issues may be bothering him in the family. So mm-hmm. That pediatrician really was quite smart. So they came to me, and they were a very nice young couple, And we talked for a little while, and then I asked the parents to wait in the waiting room, as I sometimes do, and I talked with Alex, who's an adorable blonde, curly-haired and blue-eyed boy. And I said, "Alex, sweetheart, what's the matter? Are you worried about Mommy or Daddy?" And Alex said, "Well, I'm worried about Daddy because he doesn't have an occupation." I thought, that's interesting for a five-year-old. I said, "What do you mean, Alex?" And he said, "Well, Daddy doesn't go to work. And Mommy and Daddy are arguing about money. They're having fights about money, and we can't go out to dinner, and we can't buy toys." So I thought, okay, so there's something going on in the family. So I called the parents back in, and I had Alex wait in the other room. And it turned out that the father had a cast on his arm, and he had broken his wrist a few weeks ago. He was a pro tennis coach, so of course that means he couldn't go to work. And it turned out that the time that Alex started changing his personality was just right after Father had the accident. So I said, "Well, you know, I think Alex is worried about you." And the father said, "What does my broken arm have to do with my child who's ADHD? And I said, "Well, just bear with me and let's try some things and see if we can help." Because the parents were not eager to medicate.
Right.
So the father, I had the father reassure Alex that everything was going to be all right. He actually took his son to the tennis club and introduced him to his colleagues, to his friends there. And they all said, "Oh, yeah, your daddy's coming back in a few weeks." And then most importantly, I asked the parents not to argue about money around Alex. And with these just simple interventions, after the parents had done them for a couple of weeks, Alex was back to his normal self.
Mm.
So that's how an injury, or sometimes it's an illness in the family, can distress a child and cause him to act out.
So do you, how many, so is it oftentimes that it's really family therapy? And what is family therapy? I mean, what is, sorry, I don't know enough about what you
sure.
do, but I mean,
okay.
How is it that those are the things that are the causes for some of the, I know that you're saying that's the environmental thing, the parents themselves are, mm-hmm. or the teachers. And so in this case, it was the parents were providing an environment that wasn't helpful. What are some other, and you were talking about discipline in the previous segment as actually an important thing for parents to do. What other kind of environmental things could parents be doing, arguing? What else could be causing problems?
Right. There is a story in the book I share about Laura, who was an 11-year-old girl. And when I met Laura, she was taking 9 pills a day. She was taking an antidepressant, an ADHD medication, and even a medication for bipolar disorder, which no child should be taking. Laura was very muted. She seemed more just really spaced out, like a little zombie, because she was taking all these pills.
Mm-hmm.
So when I, got to the heart of Laura's story, what it was is that her mother, who was a single parent and a very well-intentioned, good parent, had a very stressful job. And she was coming home and she was sharing her job stress with Laura. And she felt like she shouldn't hide anything from her daughter. But when I kind of framed it for her that, maybe Laura is just too young to be hearing about grown-up problems, why don't we try you not sharing your stress in front of Laura and just telling her good things about your life, and let's see if that would help. And so that's family therapy. I have the mother and the child come in, and then I find out from the child what's going on, what's bothering her, and then I usually work with the mother or with both parents. Well, after a few weeks of doing what I said, Laura was starting to get off the pills. The psychiatrist whom I was speaking with agreed with me that she shouldn't be taking 9 pills a day at age 11. And so she
why did you put her on those pills then?
because psychiatrists tend to think that way. They think that there are no other solutions. In medical school, they don't learn about environmental causes. They learn only about biological causes, which are very mysterious still. Very nebulous.
What convinced her? You said, "Oh, now we're going to have Mommy no longer talk about stress." She's, okay, she can be off all the pills.
No, it took a little while. It took a while. And once once the psychiatrist and the mother saw that Laura was feeling better, the pills were not working. That was the problem. The reason that they came to me, the pills were not working anymore. She was threatening suicide.
Oh, no.
And so the psychiatrist didn't know what to do because he couldn't give her any more medication. So when Laura started feeling better and stopped threatening suicide, and I convinced the mother that we could wean her off the pills, and we did, because the mother changed her behavior so that the child was not being stressed. Mm. Laura was being too stressed by her mother's problems.
Wow. Wait, and going reversing a little bit, how is suicide related to the pills? Or are they?
There are. I mean, I don't know in Laura's case, but yeah, there's research that correlates teenage suicide to Prozac. So studies for, I think some other antidepressants as well. Youth who were taking, I think between 14 and 18, who were taking antidepressant medication had a higher suicide rate than a control group that were not taking the medication.
Wow. So these are both cases that, both cases where it was really an environmental thing, and because the psychiatrist didn't know, they're prescribing, because they don't really have that kind of background, they're prescribing medications, in this case, 9 pills to, how old was she again, in fourth grade?
11.
11 years old.
She started taking pills in second grade.
In second grade, 9 pills for a second grader. Oh, my God. Okay, so let's start our conversation that we're going to continue in the next segment about, you know, so how, what role do doctors play in all of this? I mean, what do doctors need to educate themselves on? What do we need to educate ourselves on when we go to a psychotherapist and they say to us, you know, because doctors are doctors. We think that they know everything. What are the, you know, what would the question perhaps be that we could have asked Laura, psychiatrist? About the pills.
Well, I think the mother might have asked if there's any, could there be family factors that are affecting my child? Mm-hmm. And you know, psychiatrists are very intelligent people. They're well-intentioned doctors, and I think they don't tend to think that way. But if you ask the question, could there be family factors affecting the child? The doctor may have thought about it and said, well, possibly. And he might have recommended family therapy. Because the main problem that I see, CJ, is that doctors are not being taught family therapy in medical schools. They used to be. They used to be trained in family therapy, but they no longer are because drug companies have had a huge influence on the medical school curriculum for psychiatrists.
Oh, that's interesting, because that is rife with questions. We're going to be back in the next segment finding out a little bit about why doctors are no longer trading family therapy and the influence that drug companies have on that curriculum. That's fascinating. Okay, we'll find out more. Folks, if you want to find out more about Dr. Marilyn Wedge, make sure to check out her website, MarilynWedgePhD.com. And also make sure to check out her articles in Huffington Post and Psychology Today. And in the next segment, we will be continuing our conversation with Dr. Wedge. And folks, make sure to friend us on Fired Up with CJA's Facebook page to get more details about our new time and date and station. We'll be right back.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
Tune into Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard. Each Thursday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring, as Sherry supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your highest good in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Tune in each week on Wednesdays at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And Dr. Peggy will lead you through the maze of info on topics from allergies and antioxidants to zinc and xylitol and all points in between, providing you with simple solutions to help you achieve optimal health for your mind, body, and spirit. Visit SimpleHealthNetwork.com to take your health back and get your copy of Dr. Peggy's amazing cookbook, OMG! That's allergy free.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Welcome to the Fire It Up with CJ show. This is CJ Liu, and we're talking to Dr. Marilyn Wedge, a family therapist and author of Pills Are Not for Preschoolers, a drug-free approach for troubled kids. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about the role between doctor and pharmaceutical companies and what the potential is that the drug companies are being unduly influenced or unduly influencing doctors and their predisposition to medicate your children. So welcome back, Dr. Wedge.
Hi, CJ. Thanks.
So tell us what, you know, you had said something very provocative in the last segment that doctors are not being taught family therapy and that the drug companies now influence a lot of the curriculum that they learn in school. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, drug companies do fund research on medical school campuses. And, you know, there's no question about that. Some of the students are starting to protest. There was a couple of years ago a protest by students at Harvard Medical School that were against the effect of pharmaceutical companies on campus, the influence. But, you know, drug companies fund research. They built a whole building. Johnson & Johnson built a whole building at Harvard Medical School. And, of course, doctors need this research money. And it's impossible to not be influenced by the person who's giving you the money for your research. Mm. I mean, it's very difficult. So there have come about, in the last couple of years, more sunshine acts, which mean that doctors have to make public if they have taken any money or vacations or research funding from pharmaceutical companies. So that is helping. But, you know, the fact is, CJ, that doctors do not know the long-term effects of these drugs on children's brains. Many of the drugs now prescribed for children, like antidepressants and antipsychotics, anti-anxiety medications, have not been FDA-approved for children. They are handing out these pills, and really parents are not informed that the side effects in the long term are not known.
But how is that legal? I mean, how can the FDA take a drug that is intended for an adult and then give it to a child without doing any testing?
Well, the FDA has not. The drugs are prescribed, quote unquote, off-label.
What's that mean?
Off-label means it's a drug that has been approved for adults by the FDA, but not approved for children. But doctors are prescribing the drug for children, quote unquote, off-label. And we're talking about a million children receiving antidepressants off-label, and close to a million children receiving antipsychotics off-label. And these are very dangerous medications.
Mm. Are they, I mean, is it the same kind of, when we were talking about Ritalin and some of the other ones, you were saying that the risk of those medications were addiction. The antidepressants and antipsychotics, are there actually even, what are the effects?
Yeah. Well, the antipsychotics, unfortunately, cause a huge amount of weight gain. And this puts the young person at risk for diabetes and cardiovascular problems. And it was found that children gain weight on antipsychotics even more than adults. I mean, something like a pound and a half a week. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're concerned about childhood obesity. And here, the antipsychotic drugs like Risperdal or Abilify, they are producing obesity in children and all of the health risks that those bring with them. So stimulant medications, ADHD medications, the main unfortunate risk of that is that one in about 180 children get psychotic symptoms. So they start getting hallucinations, or they start feeling like their skin is crawling and they get anxiety. This was published in Pediatrics a couple years ago. So there are some risks with the ADHD drugs, but they're not as great as with antidepressants or with the worst of the worst antipsychotics.
And then, so antipsychotics, you're saying, is weight gain, diabetes,
heart problems,
and antidepressants also have, I mean, so they are...
Risk of suicide. Antidepressants also have a risk of suicide.
Oh, my goodness.
In young people.
Wow. Wow. All right, what else do we need to know about the incentives between doctors? And so part of what I'm hearing is, you know, they're funded. Their research is funded by drug companies, so that it's hard to imagine that they're not biased in some ways. And what other things should we know about this whole community that we don't know? You know, the average person doesn't think about it or wonder about these things, right? We just don't know. It's ignorance.
Well, I think that parents, if their child is being prescribed a drug, I think they really need to ask the doctor about side effects. And they really need to look at some of the research articles that are published. They also can look at the FDA page. Each drug that is approved by the FDA has a page for it. And they should read up on these things and say to their doctor, look, you know, this seems to be dangerous. What are some other things I can do for my child apart from, you know, childhood depression is not that difficult to resolve. Mm-hmm. You have to cheer the child up, get him a new toy, or take him to the park, take him to the library, and go to story time. Children cheer up very easily. You don't have to give them a drug.
It's like the adult version too, right? I mean, I think most people just want to take a pill versus going to, you know, a couple weeks, a month, whatever, in therapy. They'd rather just take a pill and make it go away, right? I mean, when you, you take yourself to the library or, I mean, and one of the things I think I remember in our conversation is that it's not that many family therapy sessions because until a lot of these things are resolved, right?
Well, no, not really. Family therapy is brief therapy, and most childhood problems can be resolved in 8 sessions or less.
Yeah. So 8 hours versus 8 hours of therapy versus the number of like medical problems that your kids could have by taking medicines plus the cost. I mean, it seems like to me a rational approach would be to, you know, your kid's having a problem, first take them to the family therapist. I know you're biased, but honestly, when I hear about it, it's like taking the family therapist first. And then if the family therapist says, like, I don't know, throws their hands up in the air and says there's nothing you can try, then maybe go to the meds route. But it seems like it seems more rational to try something first that's not medicating your kid and solving a problem through a pill.
I think you make a good point, CJ. And so often today, because of the influence of pharma, the first line of defense is medication. Whereas what you said, medication should be the last line of defense.
Yeah.
The last thing you do.
The other thing that I'm picking up also is that, you know, beware of teachers who basically prescribe, you know, label your kid. Because, you know, that poor Alex's dad was like, well, why kid has ADHD? Why did he think that? Because their teacher labeled him as ADHD. They're not a medical person. How does the teacher know that the kid has ADHD? So, I don't know. That's another thing that just irks me about the story that you've told me. Anyway.
Well, yeah. But I think, you know, we also have to understand teachers are working in very overcrowded conditions in most of our states.
I know, but they shouldn't be actually diagnosing children with ADHD, honestly.
But it happens so much. It happens every day.
I know. So anyways, thank you so much for educating all of us and giving us some other options aside from just giving our children pills. So thank you, Marilyn, for being.
Oh, my pleasure, CJ. Thank you.
And folks, make sure to stay connected as we move to our new radio station. And to get updates on upcoming shows, make sure to friend us on Fired Up with CJ Page on Facebook. And next week, we'll be interviewing Eldon Taylor on hypnosis. So make sure to come in, tune in next week, and have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
Transform. Transformation Talk.
your life.
I used to be afraid, and now I love. I feel like fear just cripples you and love frees you. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing and changing from fear to love and showing people that that's the only way. I love, I love, I love. I no longer fear. Thank you.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think the Dr. Pat Show's the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Don't touch that dial. We'll be beginning a brand new show at the top of the hour with one of our amazing hosts, Transformation Talk Radio. Talk radio to change the world. Transformation Talk Radio is designed to attract people like you and like me. Millions of people across the globe are looking to uplevel their lives. If you have a message and want to take it out on Transformation Talk Radio, make sure you give us a call, 1-800-930-2819, or send an email to host@transformationtalkradio.com and get ready to host your own show on one of the fastest growing transformative networks in the world. Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart. There are just certain heart-to-heart conversations you can only have with your sisters. The conversations you crave when you need to reconnect. Mona and Savitri explore our feminine power as they look at headline topics and what women are talking about. Join us on Sisters Talk Radio, Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.